out on the set, please. I'm talent.
Don't forget, I'm Julian.
Is JFK still dead? Oh, pardon me, we're shooting something. Hello, I'm Drew Lane talking into this fake mic to tell you how dangerous bullshit news is for your health. Listen to Charlie LaDuff, the No Bullshit News Hour. Right, can we do that again? I'll beat it. That's what I'm taking my glasses off like Cronkite. This just did breaking news. No more bullshit. No more bullshit.
No bullshit.
Na 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 na. No bullshit.
No bullshit.
You lied. You lied, Mike. You liar, Mike. Mike lied. Right here. This. Right there. Right there. There's the report, Mike. You lied. You guys see this report? Right there. You lied. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
It's not just me. It's not just the Free Press. A scathing, blistering report this week, Mannequin Joe. Right there. Yeah, there you go. That's a hell of a reaction. Mayor Mike Duggan was telling me, he was telling you, he was telling my daughter, he was telling the world.
Everybody.
Everybody, wasn't he? That absolutely, the woman, he got caught driving to her house with the garage door opener that had a program funded through the city, was not funded through the city, that he did not put city resources or city employees towards it. And it's not true.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. That's the Inspector General of Detroit, which we will be bringing to you. Yes, Ellen Ha, the Inspector General of Detroit, will be joining us on a pre-recorded interview to discuss this ridiculous cover-up. It's ridiculous. Right? Here's what happened. Money, the gal. And then when the media started finding out, they were deleting emails. So, did you see that press conference this week?
Yeah.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
he tried to deny it.
After saying, we didn't delete anything, we found out they deleted it. Then he said he didn't know. Alexis Wiley, his chief of staff, didn't know, right? And then he holds a press conference saying, okay, we, using the possessive pronoun we. So if you didn't order the emails deleted to cover this up, and your chief of staff didn't order the emails to be deleted to cover this up, then who ordered it?
Right.
Right? Now, he's saying at this press conference, Bob Carmack, the pain in the ass businessman fighting him about a murky real estate deal in Detroit, who tailed him. He said he's trying to protect junior staffers? Junior staffers from the media circus. And the junior staffers were smart enough to transfer the emails of their private accounts to protect themselves.
Save some emails.
We got a little bit of that. Let's play that video clip, okay? From the mayor's press conference.
Junior staff people who had done nothing except their jobs. And it's a matter of concern to us that Carmack and his surrogates continue to file Freedom of Information Act requests. At some point, these two junior staff people are going to end up on his radar screen. They're going to become part of the media circus. They're not in the cabinet. They haven't been warned. They aren't ready for this. And so we thought, in order to protect them, that if they deleted the emails, their names would never surface and they'd be left out of this. Now, obviously, that isn't the way it has turned out.
It is not the way it's turned out.
factor on Front Street, Mike. I mean, come on. Look, okay.
Protecting junior staffers. How about protecting them by not having them break the law?
Right.
Maybe that, you know, might protect him a little more.
And Mike says he's not going to discipline Lexis Wiley's chief of staff, who I used to work with at Fox, too. He's not going to discipline his director of development and grants. What's that cat's name again? Ryan.
Friedrichs.
Yeah, Friedrichs. Ryan Friedrichs, whose wife is Jocelyn Benson, the Secretary of State of Michigan. Look at this cesspool.
Yeah.
So we will bring you the full interview with Ellen Ha, who's really growing into it, an independent look at what's going on. Not only that, the demolition, right? So a lot to get to. But first, let me just say that Facebook Live is brought to you by American Coney Island. Look at that. Look at that. Delicious. Look at that. Look at that.
Delicious.
Medallia onions. For those of you listening in your car, go to Facebook Live and you'll see it. Look at those. Medallia onions. Chili.
Delicious.
Mustard.
I just had one.
Proprietary. Right. So here's the deal. If you want to send that to anybody, any of your loved ones around the country, you just go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. They show up in that.
There it is.
And you fix them and they look like that. You want one, Bob?
I just had one. They're want delicious.
One, is nobody going to take one? I'll take one. All right. That's good. A little beer to wash that down.
Perfect.
All right, look, let's do a quick rundown of next week's news today. All right?
No, that's bullshit.
This is the most fucked up story. It's crazy. It's sad. It's got to do with the Detroit Firefighters Union. Friends of the show, they've been on. The president's been on. Here's the deal. It's been accused, it's been alleged, that the treasurer of Detroit Firefighters Association has embezzled, they don't even know yet, $500,000, $250,000, $125,000, trying to figure it out.
From their dues?
From the union's budget.
Right.
Right, which is funded by dues.
Right.
The treasurer who's being investigated is Verdeen Day, who was the first black woman ever to join the department, 33-year veteran, very respected. It's devastating. Again, these are allegations. They're looking into it. But having said it, it is how it worked. She would cut checks. This is what I'm being told from the inside. She would cut checks to herself and then on the books say that they were going to law firms that didn't exist, etc. Right? Really devastating. Now, what happened the last couple days is the president of the Firefighters Union meets her, worried about her. She hands him $20,000 and two $10,000 bundles. He brings it back to the union offices. Okay? You guys look at me.
Yeah.
He brings it back to the union offices where they count it on videotape. They keep the bands. That's their evidence. They put it in an envelope. They give it to the vice president, who takes it home, puts it in his firearm safe, and then the next day deposits it, this evidence, back into the account of the fire union. That's some dumb shit.
That is some stupid
shit. Okay. She can't cut these checks without the signature of the secretary of the union, right? Who doesn't know for these 3 or 4 years that she's forging his signature. That's some dumb shit.
Geez.
That's some dumb shit. The secretary is running for president against the president, and that vote comes next month. Okay? There is a financial oversight committee. The guy on that committee who's supposed to be looking after her is running for vice president. You understand what I'm saying here? This is a
so
fucking mess. This makes none of these guys, right? The president, the vice president, the
secretary
are under investigation at this point. But having said that, they make the UAW look like the freaking Dalai Lama. This is a joke. How could this be? Okay. Also, it's alleged that the treasurer, who's under investigation, was shaking down the widow of a fallen firefighter when she and the family were going to go to the Heroes Memorial in Colorado. Allegedly, she said, well, I couldn't get you all on the plane, so I fronted you the money. Write me a check. Reimburse me for $2,400. Which she never actually wrote, the union did pay for it. You get it?
And so then they reimbursed her?
No. The widow reimbursed her.
Oh, my God. That's shameful.
If, again, here we go, allegedly, right? But that's the scuttlebutt. Now, here is the crazy part. Here's the part. If I called Netflix executives, they wouldn't even buy this story. Because the treasurer's daughter is on the lam from the United States Marshals. Okay? She's wanted. There's an international manhunt for her. Where'd she go? So when the treasurer is taking vacations, maybe she's
seeing her daughter.
Going to see her daughter? Because that's what the U.S. Marshals are looking into. Why is the daughter running? Because it's alleged she's the suspect in the murder of her boyfriend in Melvindale last year.
Oh, right?
She buried him, allegedly, dug him up, allegedly, dismembered him, allegedly, and his body parts are thrown out on the highway, I-75, all the way down to Toledo, where they find his torso in a sleeping bag at a rest stop. I kid you fucking not.
Can't make that shit up.
Well, I mean, not only can you not make... Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
You can't make that shit up. This is fucking psycho.
Oh, for sure.
And the poor fuckers in the fire department are up for a new contract. They're fighting with Duggan, who's up there lying about his girlfriend, right? And now, is anybody going to get paid in his miracle comeback?
Well, probably not the police and fire.
Well, police already are not getting paid. But,
right.
I mean, this is fucked up. Okay, now another follow-up here. Not a great story, but a story of closure. You remember, we had the niece of the woman that disappeared from Ferndale, Deborah Reynolds. Remember, she was picked up with the man accused of being a serial killer, D'Angelo Martin. She was picked up drinking in Ferndale. Ferndale police picked them up and dropped them in Detroit. Remember that?
Yep.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah? You remember that? She was heartbroken. So me and Sean Lay from Channel 4, God bless that. This is how the community and media together get some things done. We went to the neighborhood where the cops dropped them off. There was a body found there. Sean had done a report. We met up, talked to the neighbor. The neighbor said, yeah, I remember the serial killer at that abandoned house right there, and I remember a body stink that I called in, and it took the police months to come check it out. It was so badly decomposed, right? They didn't know. The corpse was just sitting in the back of the cooler at the medical examiner, unidentified. They didn't know. Once the neighbor told me that he saw the serial killer, homicide went and talked to the neighbor, confirmed what the neighbor told me. They shipped the DNA down to Texas, because in Texas, they've got advanced DNA. They do dinosaur bones there. That's how badly it was decomposed. And I am sad to report that it was indeed Deborah Reynolds. What you're seeing here on Facebook Live, that's D'Angelo Martin, who's been charged with the killings of four women in the about the age of 50, black women, left a condom next to him, right? And she was last seen with his dude. So we made a promise to the family that we would do our level best. We did. I'm sorry. But I hope you get some closure. You can bury your loved one. Because remember, everybody's somebody's child.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of you, Sean, over there. And that's what it's supposed to be. And everybody out there listening, I know you're sending me tips, you're sending me emails, you're sending me background. I'm reading all of it. I really am. Keep sending it. Well, I can't get to all of it, but I'm reading it. You know, we are a news organization, but we're not very big. And we can't do all the big stuff. You know, but we were the ones to know that Mike Duggan wasn't staying at the Manoogian. We did casually tell it to Bob Carmack. He did, in fact, put the tail on him.
The Free Press
would not let it rest, noticing evidence is deleted in some little two-bit hustle story, right? And it blows up into a cover-up. You know what I mean? We're doing our level best. You'll hear from Miss Hot later about all of it. And finally, just before we get a word from our sponsors, we also told you about The skyscraper that's probably not going to be built downtown by Duggan. I mean, Gilbert.
By Dan Gilbert, yeah.
He told you that downtown is a tax haven dodge for the rich, the opportunity zones. If you've been listening to No Bullshit News Hour or you read Deadline Detroit, I've been telling you that for a year. What's happened is, in a lot of areas in America, under the Trump tax cuts, where there are impoverished pockets, in order to encourage development, they created tax havens. So basically, if you have $1 billion in Amazon stock and you cash it out, you have to pay $240 million in taxes, which is a lot, but it's still less than income tax. But if you take that $1 billion and you put it into one of these zones, if you keep it there for 7 years, your tax rate's cut in half. Now you only have to pay $120 million. And if you keep it there for 10 years, you don't have to pay any tax on the profit.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
So they stipulate what you have to use the money for if you put it in the opportunity zone?
It's so murky and so shady. There's no stipulations about what even constitutes a profit.
Wow.
This is what we're telling you. So what's in the Detroit news today was done by ProPublica, the nonprofit investigative journalism organization that's had to replace us as the media. They reported that Gilbert lobbied Trump to make his empty buildings an opportunity zone, even though he had already owned them. You get what I'm saying? Let me put it like this.
So he's lobbying to have him create an opportunity zone on property he already had. So it's not like he would go in and invest in an opportunity zone. He was already there.
Yes.
That's BS.
Which today, Gilbert's representative pitch a bitch and say, we didn't know anything about that. That's fake news. But what's not fake news is you did lobby the state. The governors give the federal government the list of properties. You did lobby the state. What's really true is you're not paying taxes. We don't have roads. We don't have schools. We don't have cops. Plus, you're getting stuff from the city. Plus, you're getting stuff from the state. This is what we're talking about, people. We do it over and over. And even if these are long, boring stories, they do echo what we've been telling you. You can trust us. We don't do shit and just yell. We don't watch CNN and Fox and just do what they do. We're trying to look out for you. So if you don't understand what this is, consider it like this. You work in a factory. You make 50 grand a year. The law said if you buy a house, we will not tax you on your 50 grand for 7 years. And when we do tax you, you'll pay half the taxes you're paying now. And if you put an addition onto your house, we will not increase your property taxes. That will be free. Can you imagine that?
That's how it works in an opportunity zone.
Yeah, except for the fact that Gilbert was already living in his house.
Right.
You're supposed to go buy a house. This is the rook.
Jeez.
This is the rook. Here.
You're lying.
Right there. It's not me. Stop saying I got a hard on for the mayor. I got a hard on for my community. I love you. I'm not just doing this. Man, I'm not the only one. I'm glad there's an independent. Oops, sorry. Oops. All right. Word from our sponsors. Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth. 248-663-4748. Go to him for rational financial advice. Have a friend. Walk you through it. Right? Look at the Marcus ping pong. Listen to the TV pundits. Economic doom is here. It's not here. Trade war. No trade war. China. Right? Then the market rebounds. And then it tanks. And then it rebounds. Will these gains hold? I don't know. Nor do you. Nor does any TV talking head. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth. 248-663-4748. Position you in your investments, retirement, and college savings plans for the long term. And always remember, securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names. Products or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. And Hull Financial, Bob's favorite.
They're my guys.
Right? They now have more than 800 five-star reviews because Bob gave them one. Right? Another
Absolutely.
Happy client. This team of mortgage professionals provides every client with VIP service, ensuring they feel like a name and not a number. What if I told you you could skip a mortgage payment and lower your payments? Your payments lower, Bob?
They are.
Or if I told you that Hall Financial will not only walk you through the process of buying your home, but provide you with the top realtor in your area. Is that true, Bob?
It is.
Who doesn't want that type of full service?
Yeah, they've been fantastic, like I said.
Hall Financial knows how to deliver five-star service. That means your schedule availability at night and on weekends. Is that true, Bob?
It is very true.
They are going to work for you, and you won't be charged hidden or extra fees. Is that true, Bob?
That is true.
You know what you're getting when you work with Hall Financial. Call them today at 248-308-5000. If you're looking to purchase or refinance or chat with them online at davidhallmortgage.com. How'd you get a hold of them, Bob?
I called them directly, yeah.
You didn't know bullshit news hour, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell them we sent you.
They reached right back out. The wheels are going. We haven't closed yet, but I expect to probably close by the time we do our next podcast.
Sweet.
It should be done, yeah.
Give Hall Financial a chance today, the official mortgage lender of the No Bullshit News Hour, equal housing lender, NMLS. I was like ML, it was like Elric. I was kidding. NMLS number 1467435. Elric, if you're out there, please call in at some point, my brother. Okay. Do a little paperwork here.
You lied, Mike. It's just not me saying it. So.
This is the get.
Yeah.
This is the get. Who? Mike Duggan loves to call the media fake. They like to call us liars, like to call us inaccurate when it's something he doesn't like, something of his own doing. Huh? Eh?
Like most of your stories.
And they were yours too.
Yeah.
Right? I'm still
doing. He likes
doing
to call them out as fake.
If you're going to bullshit this one, what else are you bullshitting? It gives you a window into that opportunity zone. It gives you a window into the police. It gives you a window into the machinations of City Hall. Something this dumb. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because of Kwame, the people of Detroit created the Office of Inspector General, a investigative body separate from everybody. If you have a complaint, if you think corruption's going on, if you don't want to call the FBI, you don't think it rises to that level, you call the Office of Inspector General. And quite frankly,
an independent from city council, from the mayor's office, or an independent body.
Exactly, except for the fact, see, this is how politics works. You fuck with them, they fuck with your budget.
Right.
That's how they all get scared down there.
Yeah.
Right? But I do, and I didn't think much of his office. For the first couple of years, it's kind of tepid and weak, didn't do anything. It's starting to grow into something. Miss Ha came from the law department where, watch this, she was in charge of the documents, freedom of information. She gave classes not only to Ms. Wiley, but the mayor, his cabinet, the underlings, these young women Mike's talking about, he's trying to protect. She gave them classes. Don't destroy the email. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. So she is now the Inspector General. And I see something happening. I actually have some hope for this office. So I sat down with her earlier this week. And do I need to do any more?
Nope. Nope. She tells you what she found.
All right. Sit down and have a listen, folks.
I don't even know where to start with this. 6 months?
Yes.
How much money you spent on this?
How much money spent?
Yeah, how much
on
money
this?
In a 6 month investigation, 400,000 documents, a staff.
Oh, we didn't hire any expert.
I know. It did a lot. It took a lot of time.
Yes,
a lot of resources.
It did take a lot of time. Many sleepless nights, many weekends.
Why sleepless nights?
Because whatever we say or do will have some effect on certain individuals, and it will have some impact on the city of Detroit. It's
Absolutely.
Not an easy job to critique someone's performance or act. It's a lot easier to critique someone's performance and act than it is actually to do.
So now we have a 36-page finding by you, plus the answer by the mayor. What do you make of the mayor? What are your findings here?
I was a bit surprised by the response that was provided to our office, only because I believe that their response was more legalese. And our agency do not make legal analysis, nor do we make legal determination. The interpretation of the charter is the authority is solely given to the law department, the Corporation Counsel's office. This office investigates abuse, waste, fraud, and corruption, and we make factual findings based on the evidence and information that we gather during the investigation.
And then you leave it to whatever law enforcement body wants to pick up your work?
So
you work as an independent body.
Yes.
Making some determinations.
Yes.
You lay out a report, and if the AG, Attorney General, wants to pick it up, or the FBI or whoever.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we do find any criminality under the charter, we are required to contact the appropriate law enforcement agency. In this instance, we did not make any determination in terms of whether there was any criminal activities involved or whether anything should be forwarded to the appropriate law enforcement agencies.
Why?
We did not find any criminality in this matter, but
what did you find, first of all? I suppose is a good question.
Okay. So the first element that we found, the first of the two key findings, was that the support that the city provided, including the mayor, provided to make your date was done unilaterally by the mayor himself, based on his experience at DMC and his transition.
What you're saying is the guy cooked it up himself. He created it.
Yes.
Okay.
So the second finding was that...
And they got preferential treatment.
Yes. That was one of our findings.
And why is that not a violation of city ordinance?
Because there is no ordinance or policy or procedure that has been set by the city pertaining to nonprofits or any organization that can pair up or partner with the city.
But the law does say that you must disclose financial interests. The mayor or his immediate family may not profit. They at least must make it public that they're involved. Is that correct?
Well, there is an ethics ordinance that the city has, and we did do an analysis of that ordinance, superimposed the facts that were provided in this case. And we found that there is no conflict. And
As
the way it's written.
Meaning, like, your wife can't profit. That would be ethically bad.
Absolutely.
But the ordinance does not say at all anything about friends with privileges or, you know, gal pals or, you know, kids that you might have sponsored through Sally Fields or even your dog. That's not even written. So there's a gray area.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's important to put it that way because regular people are like, oh, wait a minute. I know in the report you say, I'm not even going there, what their personal relationship was. But it's obvious to people there's a relationship, there's videotape. How did your girlfriend get stuff when, there's plenty of other prenatal programs?
So, we did not go into any relationship between the mayor and Make Your Date organization or any relations he had with the Wayne State University or with the program itself or the director of the program. That was not part of our equation. It is important that when you provide or when you select an agency that you want to work with, because remember, the mayor is not an individual. This is not his personal quest. This is a mayoral initiative and priority that he is entitled to make. He makes campaign promises. He fulfills them. It's the fact that he did not consider any other organization and or program when he announced the initiative to reduce infant mortality in the city of Detroit, which is a real problem.
It stinks. A real problem. It's a real problem. It stinks. And yet, it's the gray area of the law.
Well, the fact is that it is a real problem in the city of Detroit. We're just merely saying that he failed to consider any other programs or agencies. And we do understand that he did have 9 years of experience at DMC and that he does recognize this problem within the city. We're just saying that he did not provide any other organizations or program a chance to talk to him or the health department official and make it a fair selection.
Side note to, not a question, side note to the listener, when you check the state health data, the infant mortality rate and preterm births have actually increased since the mayor created this fantastic program. End of side note. The second
and I can't make any comments on that because
it says so in the report.
Yes. No, I believe the report talks about infant mortality issue. And we are all for reducing infant mortality in the city of Detroit. So, and we're not by any means saying that Make Your Date was the wrong nonprofit organization that the city paired up with. All we're saying is that when he made the selection of nonprofit organization to work with the city of Detroit Health Department, he should have considered or provided the other nonprofit organization and or program which assist in reducing infant mortality into consideration before he unilaterally chose Make Your Date.
Now, you've said numerous times organization. Are you Canadian?
No.
How come you don't say organization?
I don't know.
He's not laughing. This is serious. Make sure this recorder is working. It's a new phone, you know. Just talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, good. Okay. Second finding in your voluminous study here. What else did you find? Number two.
Number two was more troubling for us. We investigated whether or not anyone abused their authority when they issued an order to delete emails pertaining to this particular matter. And we concluded, based on preponderance of evidence, that it was more likely than not it was the mayor's chief of staff, Alexis Wiley, who ordered the two staffers in the Office of Development and Grants to delete their emails pertaining to Make Your Date. That to us was more problematic than the first finding pertaining to that the mayor did not provide other, he did not consider other organizations or programs in his mayoral initiative to reduce infant mortality. Because that when you have a high official telling people to delete email, it sends the wrong message.
You think? What message is that sending?
The message to, I think, most people, including myself, is that you don't want other people to see what was contained in the email. So I do understand that Ms. Wiley's position and Mr. Friedrichsen, Ms. Abouchakra's position and the mayor's position.
Those are Mr. Friedrichs and Abouchakra are officials in the Office of Development?
Yes, okay. Office of Development and Grants. So I do understand that their motive was to protect the younger employees. However, I beg to differ because if you were considering the younger employees, such order should never have been issued.
Because what you're saying is the mayor holds a press conference after you release the report where he says, yeah, they were deleted, but we wanted to protect we only asked two young employees to do it because we wanted to keep their name out of this circus that was created by Bob Carmack, who tailed the mayor, going over to the doctor's house, and he somehow had a garage door opener, and they didn't want these, quote, young women to be tied up in it.
Right.
And so if they didn't possess any emails, you would never know their name. Is that right?
Yes. So.
And yet now we know their name.
Well, actually, I believe most people knew their name or their names when either Free Press or Detroit News ran an article pertaining to deletion of emails while we were still investigating this matter. So I do understand that they had good intention and their motive was good. But I do believe that they fail to see the other side. And that is when someone instructs a younger person, not younger person, but align staff members to delete something, it sends the wrong message to the staff. Because now they're thinking, well, they want me to delete my email so that no one else can see it. And that, to me, is more disconcerting than the fact that the mayor did not consider other programs or the motive was to protect them. I really don't believe that it was maybe there was a motive to protect these employees, but being a public servant, it requires a higher call. So it's not just the person at the top, but it's also person at the lowest level of government. They also should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah, how about the regular standard? For instance, in your report, you interviewed the mayor. He said he didn't know about the deleted emails. Huh?
Yes.
Okay. You interviewed...
Until sometime in May, okay. I believe.
And then you interviewed Alexis Wiley.
Yes.
Who says she doesn't recall ordering anybody to delete emails, right?
Yes.
So then once your report comes out, we've got a big excuse as to why we ordered them, although nobody was aware of it, apparently. So how do you jive this?
Well, Mr. Friedrichs and Ms. Serene Abuchakra, they both provided statements to this office that it was Ms. Wiley who directed the two lower staff members to delete their emails. However, the direction was given through them. So,
Jeez.
Well, Charlie, if you read the report.
I read it three times.
Okay.
What's the 2 minutes? 2 minutes?
No.
What's two?
Two separate occasions.
Oh, on two separate occasions.
What?
Ms. Wiley told Mr. Friedrichs and Ms. Serene Abuchakra to have the two individuals in the mayor's office to delete their emails on two separate occasions.
Before I ask you what you recommend in this case, let me make one more point before I forget it. These two young women, as the mayor calls them, all of a sudden it's like some Weinstein Incorporated. We mean two young, you're looking out for the young women. I mean, these two professionals. One of them, before she deleted the emails, sent them to her personal account because she was smart enough to know what was going on. And maybe this is the woman that should be the chief of staff because she understands how to handle public documents. I don't know if that's a question or a statement, but...
That is a statement, and you are entitled to your own opinion.
But that is true, the facts.
Oh, it is true, factually. So, which also tells me that this person had some concerns about deleting her emails, and rightfully so. So I think it's admirable and it's honorable for the mayor to protect his staff from the press and or individuals who follow public servants around town. However, it simply was not good governance, and it was certainly an abuse of authority when someone tells the younger employees to delete emails.
And Mr. Friedrichs told you in this report that he kept the emails because it was, quote, his armor.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Was not directed to delete his emails. So
what does that mean?
Well,
did you ask him what that meant?
No. But if so, we believe that most of the communications between Maker Date and Wayne State University was probably made through the two staffers, Mr. Friedrichs and Ms. Serene Abuchakra. They were higher authorities, and they probably did not have as many emails as Ms. Phillips and Ms. Huttenlocher. So the insinuation is that they were the two individuals who probably had most emails, if any, pertaining to this particular program.
So what have you recommended in your report to the about this gang of three? Wiley, Friedrichs, and Chakra?
Yes.
What's your recommendation?
We recommended that the mayor take this into consideration, our report into consideration, and issue appropriate discipline to the three individuals.
He said he's not going to discipline them. That's what he said. Not going to discipline them.
I'm slightly disappointed because I also believe that it would send a wrong message to the public. But the mayor, I respectfully request that he reconsider his decision because this is a reflection not just on him as a leader of the city of Detroit, but this is a reflection on the city itself. When this office was created, it was created under a charter amendment, and the citizens of Detroit paid a very hefty price for the creation of our office and to make certain charges and mandates to
because
this office.
Because Kilpatrick goes yes. to prison. Chief of police are out the door. Contractors are barred from doing work. We go bankrupt.
Yes.
This is supposed to be a new era, and it's all supposed to be clean machine and do it right.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know...
And so you are, and you, sir, are here. I'm in an office with people who take it seriously, I'm hoping. It reads like it. Who are there to protect that. Not only the public's...
I took
well-being, but, you know...
I took an oath of office to, uphold the Constitution of the United States. And part of it is the city charter is... It reflects the will of the people. So it is like a constitution for the city of Detroit. And I asked for this job because I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to make a meaningful difference in the city's renaissance. And I'm very lucky to work with all of my colleagues here who believe in the same thing. And we believe that the city should govern itself with honesty and integrity. And we also believe that we can correct our own wrongs. The feds don't have to come down on us and take over the water department or the police department, because that time is gone. That is part of the history that made this office. And our office was put in place by the charter so that we can clean up our own backyard, our own front yard, that we do not need the feds to come in and clean up our mess. We do not need the state of Michigan to come down here and appoint an emergency manager. We can govern ourselves, And we are part of that democratic government here.
God bless you, you naive thing.
I don't think I'm naive. I think I'm doing the job that the charter intended for us to do.
Absolutely. No, I'm making a joke. I respect you. And I just wish we didn't need you.
Oh, and I wish that the city didn't need us. But, you know, like I've said before, I think all of us, each one of us, whether or not you are a public official, whether or not you are a public servant, I believe that all of us should strive for perfection. And none of us are perfect. And along the way, in our journey to become perfect, we make mistakes.
Sure.
And in order to correct that mistake, somebody has to call out the mistake. You cannot wrong the right if you don't know what is wrong or how it became wrong.
Which is why you picked up this case in the first place.
Yes.
Because some people, not a lot of people, but some people say, what's the big deal?
Yes.
What's the big deal? So what is the big deal?
The big deal is the fact that, unfortunately, when the mayor was elected, he was elected to represent the will of the people. He was represented by the people. He was elected, and he's charged to do the work that that you know would represent the city of Detroit. And I do believe that he is heading that way, but he's also a human being, and he is allowed to make mistakes. And all we're doing is that he made a mistake when he chose to give his support and the city's support to Make Your Date. We're not saying that it's a bad program, and we're not saying that it did not contribute to reduction of infant mortality.
No, I'm saying that.
Okay. but he can no longer think for himself. I understand his position that he believed that this was the best organization, but he has to think for the people who elected him into the office.
I think he set up his gal pal. Just saying. I'm allowed to. You know what I mean? That's why I like doing what I do. I got to say it out loud.
Charlie, you are entitled to your opinion.
Well, you know, a lot of what I
just
do...
Just like everybody else's.
You got to jump on. Like, Ledoff's not a nut. This guy's coming with the evidence, too. But, you know, I don't have to say it in 36 pages. I'll say it in one page 36 times.
Yes, and you're very good at it.
Oh, thank you. Now, you wanted some discipline. You haven't referred this to anybody, but is against the law to delete public records.
We do not make
punishable
legal
determination. It's a misdemeanor, punishable by 2 years in jail, and 2 years would be prison, actually, and or $1,000 fine. That's the state law.
And that is a determination that should be made by the Attorney General's
office.
Well,
how come your report didn't say, hey, you know, it's quite likely this law was broken?
Because we don't go outside of our jurisdiction. The last thing I want to be accused of is abusing my authority.
Understood.
Wow.
Well, what happened?
That's the end of part one.
No, you cut it wrong.
What are you talking about?
Well, pick a part two and then we'll come back. I didn't want any edits in.
Actually, no big deal. So, you know, in the interest of public openness. Go ahead and tell them what we were just talking about.
Okay, so take it down. At the end of that got cut off, is the guy said, hold on, can we go off the record for a minute? You clipped it.
That wasn't on my file.
Hell yeah, it was. So what happened was, he goes, can we go off the record? Because you're going to hear it when we come back in, right? And they wanted to go off the record. And I said, we can go off the record for a second. And then we come back on and go, okay, tell them what the fuck it is we set off the record. Because when you're listening to this show, you're listening to this right now, yeah, I know what y'all are thinking. We could have cut that up in 5 minutes. Could have done a
PBS special. I'm not into it. Like, if somebody of doing a story like this, of this magnitude, and you might not even think it's of a high magnitude just yet, I want to take my time and not edit anything, because that's how we roll. Oh, Bob's all mad at me. That's cool. I'm just going to put the part in. He just said, can we go off the record for a minute, right? So when we come back, that's what happened. We just shut it down. But before we do that, let me tell you about, oh yeah, here's what I did. Even when we were sitting in there, they're like, I thought of it right away as we're talking, because can we go off the record for a minute? I go, sure we can. We'll be back right after these commercial messages. Which leads me to ADR, experience, competent, honest, ethical, smart. Overseeing more than $250 million in private and public construction projects since 2001, which included the Detroit Demolition Program under Dave Bing and for a while under Mike Duggan until he started speaking up. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. I think I've said it before. There's more to be said in the future on this. ADR, reduce your costs, increase your bottom line. ADR saved clients millions, the state millions, the city millions. ADR consultants are experts in procurement and government compliance. Call Barry Ellentuck at 248-318-9424 for a consultation. Try Googling that, Barry Ellentuck. All of it. All the way through the end. He's in my book, Shit Show. The country's collapsing and the ratings are great. ADR consultants providing construction management, IT consulting services for your company, municipality, or law enforcement agency. By the way, shout out to the Hamtramck police. Get the job done right, on time, on budget. ADR consultants, 248-318-9424.
Give Barry a call.
Then, I don't know what the odds are on this administration. I really don't. But let me tell you, there's nothing like the NFL. And there's no better way to make the game even more exciting than to put a little dough on them. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. So they tell me. But don't forget, who you're betting with is just as important is who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. So they're telling me. If you're the kind of person who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. It's all in the way you do it. If all the picks that you parlay come through, you multiply your winnings.
Making some bank.
Right. Now, so they tell me, just like you did Hall Financial,
yeah,
we got Karen doing MyBookie.
Oh.
She's on the East Coast this week. She'll be on the West Coast next week. And we'll call into her. She's on a plane right now, but I want to know how the parlay went. The NFL season is the best time of year. You join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Put $100 in the account, $200. $1,000 in the account, $2,000.
Wow, that's such a deal.
I'm not going to even go to the million. I bet you they do it. I'm not like that kind of baller, but use promo code NOBS to activate the offer. That's promo code NOBS. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. By the way, who the Lions playing this Saturday, Sunday? Is it the Bears? No, it's the Giants.
Giants.
It's the Giants. If the Lions don't win, it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
You believing in the Lions? I mean, is your life really wrapped around the Lions, or you want to make a little dough and make a little fun? What you think?
Well, I'd like to make some dough, but I don't think I'm making any dough off the Lions.
Well, again, they're playing the Giants, and you know, I mean, look, the Lions are playing for their lives.
Well, they are, and that's a game they should win.
There you go, homie.
But you can do the Lions.
You can do the straight bet, coin flip, Lions take, right? I'm sure the Lions are given points.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah.
Should look that up.
Okay, we'll do that. But let's Bob, it wouldn't be a show unless we were fucking bitching about production. Let's face it. It's just a side job, huh?
Right.
We're doing good, though. Go to nobsnewshour.com, right? Download it. Do all that business, right? Give us a like. And we're going to...
Tell your friends about it.
And yeah, you can... Hey, Joey, what's our email? Charlie@nobsnewshour.com. Hit me up with a little tip, or you know how to get me the other ways. You know, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter and blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's get back to it. Listen to what Ms. Haas says about the demolition, because the gal pal and the deleting emails, it's some Bush League bullshit. Probably going to lead to a slap on the wrist. But we still got federal grand juries, folks. This is just the window. Incredible shrinking mayor. We're back to Ellen Ha, the Detroit Inspector General, part two.
Well, we're back, and that was actually no big deal. So, you know, in the interest of public openness, go ahead and tell them what we were just talking about.
So when we wrote the report, we were already made aware that the Attorney General was looking into the deletion of emails.
And the report does reflect that.
Yes.
So that's why we turned it off, just to be clear, that, right?
Yes.
You want it to be, don't want to be accused of, like, mincing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, this is the personal part. We in the press, you know what I mean? Our role is not written down. You know what I mean? We're the fourth estate, and we're there to right the wrongs and inform the public. Oh, okay. I didn't really believe that till I got older, but I do believe it. One of the things he likes to do is call us fake news. Say, your stories are false. Like most of your stories, they're false. The free press with the false story. So he minces and parses and talks about a nonprofit attached to Make Your Date, as opposed to Make Your Date the program, as opposed to Make Your Date a subsidiary of Wayne State. So he's playing games as to where money went. And I do want to quote the report, page 15. If you, the listener, and I really do recommend that you look it up, because it's just interesting how the levers work. And, you know, a nonpartisan person is looking at this. What is the website?
www.detoig.org.
www.detoig. Office of
Inspector General. .org.
Okay. And you can pull up the report. And here on page 15, the mayor's office issued a press release on April 4th. It stated that, quote, no city funds were ever provided to Make Your Date nonprofit, and no private money was ever raised for it. Every dollar of city funds went directly to Wayne State University. There's a quote, and then it says, however, this is a distinction without purpose. Great line. Who wrote that? Did you write that? It's a good line, because we were talking about it amongst ourselves in the press. We were. Because we do that. We all get up at 8 in the morning, have coffee, smoke a cigarette, getting the kid ready for school, and like, dude, what's going on? Or do that, you know? That means, in regular people speak, he was bullshitting, like moving the cards around, right? Making legal justifications, when the fact of the matter is...
It is what it is.
It's like, yeah, it is what it is. You did it, and you're sitting up there calling us false. Yeah? Were we false? Were our reports false?
I believe the report speaks for itself.
I mean, our reports. Can we believe in... The press is having a hard time. Can we believe in some of the stuff we're doing, or are we just a mess? And
I can't make judgments on the press.
Were our reports accurate?
Some were accurate. Some were not.
Mine.
I'm sorry?
Were my reports accurate? Tell the truth.
I believe they were accurate.
Thank you. Now, this isn't the first knocking heads with this dum dum. You did what? This last December, you did a big investigation on the demolition program, specifically.
Yes.
The secret meetings that city officials had with some preferred contractors. Yes. And the preferred contractors are the ones that ended up getting the job, which by definition is collusion. And you did find a lack of openness, transparency, and good governance.
That's right, just like here.
In this case.
Yes.
So this is not the first case.
Yes.
But again, you found nothing illegal or fraudulent in the secret meetings.
What do you mean,
secret? You know, like the preferred contractors and the city officials.
Yes.
How was that?
Because there was no city policy or procedure or...
So they broke no city. They broke no city.
Right.
There's no city procurement laws that say you can't have...
There is now.
Holy. Okay, so another, again, is you got to go by what's written down,
yes.
What the law is.
Yes.
But you did wrote, this stinks to high heaven, in light of Kilpatrick, this stinks to high heaven, and now there is a law. And yet the feds are still, I don't know if you know this, but the feds still have their criminal grand jury. They're very active. But as far as the city went, that wasn't illegal at the time.
Right.
You realize in those contracts there was an anti-collusion clause that everybody signed?
Right.
Well, wouldn't that be illegal if you signed that collusion saying we didn't collude?
As you said, I believe there's a pending investigation, so I can't really make any comments about, you know, additional demolition matters.
I'm not here to put you in a corner. I think your work's dynamite. I just, you know, again, these things get used. You know, these things can be... I just wanted to come right to you, too.
And that's what makes good government.
Absolutely.
You can't have a perfect government. All we're trying to do is let's work together. Let's call it what it is. It is what it is. If there's something wrong, let's correct it and let's go on.
Two more questions. And according to city law, once you have your findings, for lack of a better word, the target of the investigation, the subject of the investigation, is allowed to look at it.
Yes.
And answer before it's made public.
Yes.
Did you receive pressure from the administration to reverse your findings?
We didn't receive any pressure. They did provide a very comprehensive response, I believe over 200 pages, 33 pages of written response, and the other 100 and some pages were attachments. So those responses are provided all the time
200 pages.
To any parties who are affected by our initial or draft report. I do not find that as pressure. And this case was no different. We did not treat the mayor with any special treatment, nor Ms. Wiley with any special treatment. In fact, they both came over here to our office.
With lawyers?
Ms. Wiley came here with a lawyer. Mm. Mr. Mayor came by himself. Oh, I take that back. He came with his executive protection unit.
The cops?
Well, he's supposed to travel with his executive protection unit member.
Yeah, but he didn't do that at night, did he?
Charlie, okay, no
okay,
comment.
Okay, wait. Okay. So, are you looking into the duck do?
What is that?
Duck do. The duck do. What's a duck do? It quacks.
You have to explain to me.
Ask me again. Say, what's a duck do?
What's a duck do?
Quack. Hey, if it walks like a duck. Thank you very much for your time and your good work, and the public really does appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wish you didn't get that joke.
It's okay, man. It's nothing to laugh about. What's your take on it?
No, it's not. I mean, unbelievable. I agree with her that I think the second finding is certainly more troubling about corruption. Because, you know, it's like she said, okay, the first finding, they didn't look at other providers and, you know, they probably showed some preferential treatment.
No, they did show some preference. He hooked his girlfriend up.
Well,
okay, fine.
Well,
mayors
right.
do that.
Right. And but her point is well taken. They might be the best program for that.
How do we know? They didn't look exactly. at anyone. But look, this goes like this. Yeah, look, he's the mayor, man, and nobody was going to ask shit till he got caught on the fucking videotape.
But why are you telling people to delete emails?
Because you got caught on the fucking videotape, and you're a little Simon Legree, and you stomp around like Rumpelstiltskin, and it doesn't. But this guy doesn't make any sense unless it's skeezy.
Well, that's just it.
Sorry, folks, I'm allowed to say it today. There's a huge report, 36 pages, with his 200 pages in response.
Right, over 200 pages in response to a 33-page report.
And then to cook the bullshit up, right?
That just seems suspicious in and of itself.
To cook the bullshit up, we're trying to protect these young women. And by the way, young men, women, how outrageous is that for him to say that?
Well, especially when what allegedly happened is they told them to break the law by deleting emails.
Yeah, no.
How are you protecting them?
But yeah, the first thing is all we did is what you told us to do.
Right.
Oh, Bob Carmack's going to what? Show up on my door? I might show up on your door.
Right.
But once I show up on your door, it's done. Who put him there?
Right.
Who put him in the position?
Well, I just love the fact that one of them held on to the emails because they knew it was wrong, you know, so.
Which I'm saying, man, that young woman has a future in politics or maybe law or fundraising. You know what I mean? I don't see any future there.
Right. But now she said that the inspector general doesn't make a determination as to whether or not law enforcement picks this up or they press charges. But did she indicate that it's going to law enforcement?
Well, and then she said she does. So, look, it's, you know, you got to read into this. That's why I didn't want to edit it. I just didn't want to. And, like,
right.
I hope that's refreshing to people and maybe not. And you turned it off and whatever the fuck. Right. But she said in there when we, you know, we cut for break, we were aware, and we're currently aware that the attorney general is making a determination, right, whether state law was
violated.
We knew that, and so we did not put that specifically in our report because we're brand new, we're trying to grow into a big tree, and we don't want to step outside our jurisdiction. You know what I mean?
She did say that.
She did. We're a little city thing trying to grow. The AG's aware of it. We knew that. We'll see what they do. This report must trigger something. And if, you know,
you would think.
But, you know, so far the attorney general doesn't have the greatest track record. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm hearing they're preparing stuff over there, and I'm digging into what they are and are not preparing, and we'll go into that in another time. But just remember, Ms. Nessel, we're very aware of what's going on. You got to do something here.
Well, it seems like some laws have been violated.
No, broken.
Well, broken.
Broken. Say it. No bullshit.
I mean,
this is horse shit.
Yeah.
Number two, did you hear what she said? They did a big takeout only on one piece of the demolition. How the whole thing started in three companies close to the mayor. Two out of three contributed to them to help fundraising parties for them. They set a price, right? Then they put it out for bid for a day and a half with thresholds so high, nobody could meet those and bid on it in a day and a half. And then when the three companies that had the secret meeting,
their preferred contractors,
came back, they lowered the threshold. Her office took a look at it, say it stinks to high heaven, but it violated no local ordinance about secret meetings.
At the time.
Because we didn't have secret meeting ordinances?
Yeah.
Well, the federal government has secret meeting ordinances.
Yeah.
They're called fucking procurement laws. It's called the Sherman Act. And believe this program out of this basement is live. And I'm not putting words in Madam Inspector General's mouth, but she knows it's live. Anybody really looking knows it's live, and that's why you're all listening, because we're in with the fire union. We know the business there, and we just told you what's happening. We're in with the police and the serial killer, and we can get your loved one identified. We are talking about financing downtown. We're talking about opportunity zones. Mr. Gilbert, according to two of my people, was at a bar mitzvah just 2 weeks ago in a wheelchair and not doing well. The prognosis and the prognostication of the money, the big money in the burbs is, negative. This isn't me shitting on my city, folks. This is me giving you information that you need to have when you're making decisions about your money, just like when I recommend you call Luke Nowacki. Do not go it alone. Look for more information than the local freaking news, because you don't see any of this shit on the local freaking news until it blows up and then everybody's parading around like they were doing something. This doesn't do us any good. I love Detroit. I bet on it. We deserve better.
We certainly do.
All right. Try to love one another. Charlie can...
Johnny can do it. My hometown's running down for the drown. West Thorough and Vietnam. Well, it started on 12 and Claremont that morning. I just don't know what it's all about. Well, it started on 12 and Claremont that morning. I don't know what it's all about. The fire wagon kept coming. The sniper just wouldn't let him put it out. Fire bomb busting all around me. And soldier was everywhere. Oh, fire bomb falling all around me. And soldiers standing everywhere. I could hear the people screaming. Sorry, fill the air. I don't know what the trouble is. I chased around to find it out. I don't know what the trouble is this morning. I just can't stay around to find it out. I'm taking my wife and my family, and little Johnny Lee is curtain now. The Motor City's burning. Anything that I can do. Wow, the Motor City's burning. Anything that I can do. I just hope people, it'll never happen to you. Yes, yes. I can hear the farmer. So let's get out of here.
Okay, it's off. It's not. Never trust the press. It's still going. Be careful. Okay, now it's off.